We're going to start this session with a pop quiz. How many musicians are you hearing on this record? Well, that's a trick question. There's only one. That recording is the work of the legendary Les Paul, the Wizard of Waukesha. Les was not only a magnificent guitarist, he was also an inventor and one of popular music's most innovative artists. Les was born Lester Paulsfuss in 1915 in Waukesha, Wisconsin. His mother was related to the founders of the Blatz Brewing Company, as well as the Stutz Automobile Company, that being the founder of the famous Stutz Bearcat. When he was 8, he began piano lessons. Then he went to harmonica and finally guitar. The Paulsfuss family has retained a letter from one of his teachers, which read, "Dear Mrs. Paulsfuss, your boy Lester will never learn music. Save your money. Please don't send him for any more piano lessons." Incidentally, Les's first guitar was from Sears and Roebuck, which he bought for $4.50. I guess his mother was trying to save some money. When he was a teenager, he left school and began playing in country bands, blues bands, all around the Milwaukee-Madison area. The first recorded example of his playing occurs in 1936, when he accompanied a popular blues singer of the day and a pretty good boogie-woogie piano player named Georgia White. At that time, he began using the name Hot Rod Red. He became a radio personality, and by this time started calling himself Rhubarb Red. At that time, most of his interest was in country music rather than jazz.
Yonder comes Roberta, ask me how I know, by the color of her apron and a pretty little nose, umbrella on her shoulder, piece of paper in her hand. She says to the captain, "I want my man. It's a midnight special, shine a light on me. For 20 long years in the penitentiary. It's a midnight special, shine a light on me. I want my darling please set me free. If you ever go to Houston.
In addition to his experience as a guitarist, he had an amazing curiosity. When he was only 9, he built a crystal radio set. When he was 10, he invented a harmonica holder out of a clothes hanger, which enabled him to play harmonica and guitar at the same time. That design is something that's still being used to this day.
It's a midnight special. Shine a light on me. I want my darling. Please set me free.
By 1936, Les formed a jazz trio with Eric Newton and Jim Atkins, who just happened to be the half-brother of Chet Atkins. At this point, he became strongly influenced by the music of Django Reinhardt, the Belgian guitarist. Reinhardt was a member of the famous Quintet of the Hot Club of France, and Les really enjoyed his playing. In fact, they became close friends. And after Reinhardt died in 1953, Les paid for a large portion of the funeral costs. At the time of his death, Reinhardt's widow presented Les Paul with one of Reinhardt's acoustic guitars. Les moved to Chicago, where he was music director for several radio stations, primarily WJJD and WIND, which were well known for their jazz performances. Ultimately, he became a part of the Fred Waring radio show. Fred Waring was probably the Paul Whiteman of a later era and was extremely popular in the Midwest. Les was drafted in 1943 and served 2 years with an organization called the Armed Forces Radio. That was a great opportunity because it automatically put him in association with Bing Crosby, who was a great admirer. They developed a strong friendship, and later Les appeared regularly on the Bing Crosby radio show. One of the recordings of that association became one of Bing's number one hits. It's been a long, long time.
Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since I can't remember when. It's been a long, long long time. You'll never know how many dreams I dreamed about you, or just how empty they all seemed without you. So kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
In 1948, he shattered his right arm in a near-fatal automobile accident, and he was told he probably would never have any use of that arm anymore. In fact, as one doctor even suggested, amputation might be a choice. His solution was to have his arm set at an angle that allowed him to cradle his guitar and keep practicing during his rehabilitation.
Or just how empty they all seemed without you. So kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
He continued to tinker with ways to improve his guitar sound and particularly make it audible in crowds. One of his early experiments was to wire a phonograph needle to his guitar and connected it to a radio speaker. In 1940, he continued his experimentation with a prototype of the solid body guitar. He used an instrument which he called the log, which is nothing more than a piece of lumber with a bridge, neck, and strings. He approached the Gibson Guitar Company with his idea for a solid body guitar, but they showed really no interest at all until Fender came out and marketed their version. Gibson finally initiated a financial agreement in which Les would receive a royalty on the sale of each guitar. In 1948, Les produced an acetate recording, which he made in his garage. He used a disc cutting lathe from a Cadillac flywheel, along with some material he had found in his father's garage. His ideas included multiple takes, tape delay, echo, sped up sounds, muted passages, and anything else he could think of. On that first acetate, Les played all the instruments, including drums. On that initial recording, Les played the log, that instrument he invented. The song that he chose was a Rodgers and Hart standard called Lover. And when Les recorded it, the record executives were absolutely blown away by the new sound. Thank you. Les's plan was to record a track on a disc and then re-record him playing another part on another track. That was very new technology at the time. Much of this was possible because of the development of the Ampex reel-to-reel tape recorder, which, by the way, was a gift from Bing Crosby, who had a financial interest in the Ampex company. Ultimately, Ampex built Les an 8-track recording deck. For his recording of Lover, Les said in an interview that he had rejected 500 takes until he found the one he liked, and that the recording also had 20 overdubs during the course of the 2.5-3 minutes. Les's devices were groundbreaking. One of the problems we have in the modern era is we take it for granted that what we hear could easily be computer-generated. In Les's case, it was all one man doing it all. And it really makes you appreciate not only the musicianship, but the technical skill and the recording skill he had to use as he made a record like Lover. By 1949, Les added a new partner. He had met a country western singer named Colleen Summers, who had been singing with the Gene Autry band, and Les renamed her Mary Ford. And they married in 1949. One of their first recordings was a cover of a Patti Page hit called The Tennessee Waltz.
I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee Waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee Waltz.
One of the innovations that Les had brought to pop music, what he called close miking, was he had Mary stand so close to the mic that, as he put it, he wanted her to get lipstick on it. This also was very unusual at the time and gave the singing a much more intimate quality.
I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee Waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee Waltz.
How High the Moon was a song that had been recorded about 75 times, according to record producers. It was a favorite of jazz players, but had never made much impact in the recording business. According to Les, he had become so intrigued with the possibilities of How High the Moon that he, in one night, while having a drink at a bar, he picked up a placemat and sketched out the arrangement he and Mary would record later.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, how high the moon. There is no moon above, love is far away too. Till it comes true that you love me, it's I love you. Somewhere there's music, how near, how far. Somewhere there's heaven, it's where you are. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon.
During the 1950s, the popularity of Les Paul and Mary Ford had peaked. They even had their own regular TV show, which was 15 minutes in length and made a very folksy late afternoon diversion. One of the next songs Les chose for he and Mary to record was a tune called Just One More Chance.
Just one more chance to prove it's you alone I care for. Each night I say a little prayer for just one more chance.
It was initially rejected by the record company. They said it's too short, because it was less than 2 minutes, 3 minutes being the sought-after time. Les, on the other hand, knew that DJs liked short songs. After all, you could get in more commercials. He told Capitol Records if he made the song longer, it wouldn't be as good. Les stuck by his intuition, and the song was his biggest hit since How High the Moon.
I know that I should say my sentence. Still, I'm hoping all the while you'll give me just one more word. I said that I was glad to start out. To cry my heart out for just one more chance.
In the spring of 1953, Les heard a recording of Anita O'Day singing a song called Vaya Con Dios, and he immediately went to the recording shop and purchased a copy. Mary immediately recorded Les's version, and he was so impressed with the results, he told the record executives, again, to shelve any other plans they had for recordings because they were going to release Vaya Con Dios. Capitol Records refused again, but Les was adamant. He threatened to hold back any future masters of Les Paul and Mary Ford until they agreed to do his song. Capitol finally went along with it because Les Paul and Mary Ford were their biggest sellers.
is dark, the town is sleeping. Now the time has come to part, the time for weeping. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my love.
1965, Les basically went into semi-retirement. Mary and Les divorced in 1964 when she said she was growing tired of the touring.
You'll hear them singing. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my love.
He continued to record, and a particularly noteworthy recording was two albums he made for RCA, one called Chester Lester and another Guitar Monsters. Both were a combination of jazz and country improvisations, with the guitar virtuoso Chet Atkins playing the more country role, Les taking care of the jazz. If you listen to the recording, it's frankly very difficult to say when Les was playing and when Chet was playing, because there were times when Les was trying to sound like Chet and vice versa. Chester and Lester won the Grammy Award in 1976. Les's life was filled with countless honors. He's been inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the National Inventors Hall of Fame, the Songwriters Hall of Fame, the Big Band Hall of Fame. He and Mary Ford received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, the Grammy Award for Lifelong Achievement, and the first Lifetime Award in Music Education for the Wisconsin Foundation for School Music. I am proud and humble to mention that I was the second recipient of that prestigious award. Although his playing was somewhat hampered by arthritis, he continued to play at the Iridium Jazz Club in New York City well into his 90s. Les Paul claimed he rebuilt every guitar he ever used. Gibson Company's Les Paul model sold in the millions and is the instrument of choice by countless young musicians in rock and roll and in jazz.
That's it for today's episode. Support for this podcast was provided by Rich and Joan Leffler and the Forest Foundation. It's produced in collaboration with Four Seasons Theater. Producing Artistic Director of Four Seasons Theater is Sarah Marty. All episodes are produced by Sam Taylor and hosted by Mike Lecron. Until next time, take care and keep listening.
Les, did you know I'm your biggest fan?
Oh, really?
I really am. Now you've met fans and you've made friends wherever you've unpacked your old, is it a Gretsch guitar, a Gibson, or?
A solid body Gibson, yeah. Les Paul model, gold black.
And since I was a little kid, I loved everything you did, because you see, I'm the biggest Les Paul fan there are.
And they got them in cherry and white and black.
I remember that tune you did, Raunchy. I really loved that one, Les. It's kind of dirty, but I liked it.
Yeah, I did that.
And then you did One Call Apache. I loved that one.
Yeah, Yeah, well, thanks a lot.
But I think my favorite was Memphis.
None of those were mine, Chester. Chester. None of those.
Yeah, I've listened to you all I can from childhood till the age of man, because Les, whatever you may think, I'm your greatest fan.
Now, Chester, I think you've got it all wrong. There's nobody that old.
Yeah, Les, I remember when you worked with my brother, with Fred Wayne, and I was in diapers.
At 12?
I remember it well.
Well, if you were my greatest fan, then you should remember a run like this. That was my biggest one. But Chester, you know, you made quite a mark in your day. And I used to listen to you on the radio a long, long time ago. And I used to tune in on the crystal set. And I used to listen to some of my favorite songs that you played. Remember Maria Elena? Yeah. And you had another one that you played that was great, Rebel Rouser. Do you remember that one, Chester? Guitar Boogie Woogie. That was a great number.
Les, I didn't do any of those tunes.
Believe me, you were right on top of it. You know, I've listened all those days, and I've tried to learn your country ways, because I am one of your biggest fans, Chip.
Les, if you were my fan, you'd remember licks like this. This one. Oh, that's so good. I can't hardly stop playing.
Yeah, well, Chet, I wouldn't mind if you stopped. And I got the new medical journal, and they got a cure for this now with a new antibiotic.
Because, you see, I am your greatest fan. Don't talk about me, Les. I'm your fan.
I'm really touched.
Why don't you get a thumb pick and learn to play that thing right?
I got a thumb pick. I ducked the CB rig and hiked my way back to Jersey.
That means you get a thumb pick, you could play with yourself.
Now you tell me.
I also like Django Reinhardt and Lenny Bro and Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, I like Horowitz too and Sparky Lyle.
You're crazy. I don't want to record with you anymore.
Just one more album.
You hurt me. Saying you know all my tunes, you don't play my damn tunes, you never listen to my album.